Welcome back to Right Side Radio, where it's always solid conservative and just plain right. And it's that time. It's 3:30 on a Friday, and that means it's time for JP on Sports, which, by the way, my amazing, awesome sound effect has been revived. The best sound effect that we have, may I add. Have y'all heard the sound effect?
One time.
Okay. Well, the sound effect is now back, so we're going to kick off JP on Sports with the best sound effect.
JP on Sports!
Shabam.
How can you not find a wife? She's in that crowd.
Screaming JP on Sports. I don't know. Actually, I think that was Julie Ruff. If Julie Ruff's still listening, that was from her. So we appreciate Julie Ruff for that. But we're going to get into JP on Sports. First off, Paul Feinbaum, Senate rumors continue to heat up. I don't know if y'all have seen this. Sports Illustrated wrote an article yesterday. ESPN's Paul Feinbaum reportedly nearing Senate decision. It says through week 11, college football telecasts are reportedly averaging roughly 2.1 million viewers, yada, yada, yada. And it says, that's why speculation emerges that one of the sport's biggest personalities might step away for a new career path. It inevitably captures everybody's interest. Paul Feinbaum, the longtime voice of Southeastern college football, is reportedly, quote, very close to leaving ESPN to explore a run for the U.S. Senate in Alabama, sources told Front Office Sports on Wednesday. And my dad, who apparently was listening to Feinbaum just like 20 minutes ago, texted and said, Marty Smith, who's another ESPN guy, was on Feinbaum and said, congratulations, Senator. And then Feinbaum said, quote, I approve of that message, is what he said. So, first question for you two, does he pull the trigger and do it? Second, if he does pull the trigger and do it, how much of a chance do you think Paul Feinbaum has of winning a Senate race in Alabama?
We love our coaches
to a fault. I'm 50-50. If you had asked me 2 weeks ago, yes, he was definitely running. If you asked me last week, word on the street is no. This week, the new flurry of articles, I'm not so sure. But I think it's the dumbest move ever. I am not a fan. I don't think anything he started out with is genuine. Charlie Kirk did not get you off the sidelines. Don't gaslight us like that. I mean, that's just stupid. And he made his fame off of basically people hating him.
Paul!
And so why? I mean, and we do. He's so annoying. Oh, he's so annoying. It's just, Alabama is almost laughable at this point. AJ McCarron, never voted in his life, but now he's running for lieutenant governor. One heartbeat away from leading the state. Y'all, that's terrifying. And people are actually going to vote for him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Because he can throw a football.
Well, AJ will be coming up in the next topic on JP on Sports. But yeah, I'm so suspicious of it. I think we talked about this last week about the, you know, deep state of Alabama, maybe using these people with no political background, but big name ID through sports, and so that they can be their puppet and they could. We'll show you the ropes of how politics works after you get into office. We think you'd be so great. You know, they come down, they tell them what they want to hear, and then they decide to run, even though they have no political history. And then when they get into office, they do what they're told, pretty much. But the question is, and continues to be for me, like, there's somebody else in the field that the Alabama swamp, or whatever you may want to call it, is afraid of to win in, you know, maybe the Senate race, the lieutenant governor's race with AJ McCarron running. Beyond my honest opinion, I think Paul Feinbaum does not have a chance at all winning the Senate race. He's too, it'd be different, I think, if he was a figure like a Tuberville, who is sort of like a force of nature almost. Like, Tuberville has a different aura about him, I think, and he's a lot more stern, but also I think he was able to take, you know, some hard positions early on in his campaign. There was also some moments where he stepped in it where, like, he couldn't name the three branches of government, whatever. But I think Feinbaum being the sports guy with the big ears that was on the radio show from 2 to 5 that people would call in and joke about, I don't know. He has a lot less seriousness about him, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. I think it's going to be a lot harder for people to take Paul Feinbaum serious You know, whereas other guys like Tuberville, maybe Bruce Pearl, if he were to run, they can kind of win them over. Whereas the sports talk guy on the radio, when I drove home, and why is he running for Senate? You know, I don't know. I don't think he has much of a chance, but I don't know. It also is pretty amazing that he's deciding to, if he does run, that he's leaving the big payday from ESPN to go into politics. Like, why would you do that?
The only thing that I think would be a positive is he is used to people hating him. So he would have a thicker skin than other people entering that arena. I still don't think he'll do it. And it's the first we've ever heard like of him and of AJ going, oh yes, I'm a Republican. Really? Like, great. That is the one thing that I wish other politicians could borrow from him,
mm-hmm.
is his thick skin. Because it takes a lot of, I don't even know what to say, courage to be on the air that long and people hate you that much and you're like, nah. We need that spirit, but perhaps a different person in office.
Do we want to play the game of who are they trying to keep out?
Yes.
That's a fun game to play.
I don't know. It's a scary game.
It is a scary game, yeah.
And I also want to know who you all think they is. But I don't know if we should do this.
No, not that part.
We're
not
so
that part.
New.
Yeah.
Let's give ourselves a chance.
Let's don't.
But
do
I think
that.
We would all be saying the same people.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
We'll save that for off air. But to transition, AJ McCarron, same story. AJ McCarron was at an event earlier this week at, you know, some like local Republican women's event or something, but it was his first political event outing. And reportedly the campaign team of AJ McCarron literally like blocked out all the reporters from getting to AJ at all, which just screams they're scared for AJ to be confronted with, you know, hard questions like, why have you never registered to vote ever? And, you know, what makes you qualified to, you know, be a candidate worth considering? Like, they're protecting him, obviously. They're putting a bubble around him. How long will it take before AJ memorizes his talking points and then starts talking to the reporters? And then, I guess, kind of the same question with Feinbaum. Will AJ McCarron's name ID carry him in a race like lieutenant governor against, you know, the West Allens? Is Wadsworth still running for?
Yeah, lieutenant? She is.
You know, Nicole.
Wait,
Wadsworth.
Really?
Yeah.
Doctor.
Doctor Nicole.
Don't drop the doctor.
Excuse me.
She was in the Riley Gaines event. Yeah, she's still running. Rick Pate.
Rick Pate, Dean Odell. I don't know. Part of me thinks lieutenant governor may be a little bit easier to win the Senate race for this reason, because I think to the uneducated slash not, you know, the people who don't pay as much attention to politics, they may see, you know, something like a lieutenant governor run as less influent. Like, I think the average Alabama citizen that votes but doesn't pay much attention to politics sees senator as the guy that goes to D.C., where lieutenant governor is, oh, he's just, you know, he's here doing something. It may seem a little less important to the average voter, and they may say, oh, AJ, you know, I love AJ, you know. You know, I don't really know the other guys on this ballot, but I know AJ. I'm sure he's a good kid. I'm sure he's a good guy. I'll vote for him. Whereas, you know, senator kind of has a lot more weight to it to the average voter. So maybe AJ may have a higher chance than Feinbaum for that reason. But still, just the fear that AJ's, you know, going to fumble over his words, you know, when asked hard questions, that's not a good sign. I mean, it's still early. He just announced like a month or two ago. But what do y'all think about reporters or the campaign literally blocking out reporters from getting to AJ? All I've seen is pictures from afar from reporters of AJ at this event. And that's it. It's weird.
Well, it's a strategy. And, you know, if you're leading in the polls, the strategy is you don't debate.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go out in the public. You just ride the poll, stay in the lead. I happen to know that in the state, there are groups working on a lieutenant governor candidate forum where all the candidates would basically be on stage and have to answer questions and to the public. In that regard, he's not leading in the polls. He's coming from zero. Nobody knows anything about him. And again, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he believes all the conservative things and is the most staunch Republican ever. We just don't know. But you can't hide. You don't show up to that, it's not going to go well. You'll get some votes because people will vote on the name, but he can't hide forever. And it's probably not a bad strategy for his people to shield him now, because he probably really doesn't know exactly what he believes just yet.
Just yet. He needs to be told that.
Yeah. I like January. Mm-hmm. He probably needs to figure it out.
So, campaign team for AJ McCarron, you're welcome for what I'm about to say. He needs to get in front of a microphone with a bunch of cameras and say, I never voted before. Please leave the Charlie Kirk part out, because everybody's saying it right now and we don't know if we believe you or not. Tell people why you did not vote, why you have not participated, and why you are jumping in right now. Like, honestly, if you want him to have a chance, you've got to tell people why. Then you can give him his talking points after that. But if you want to actually have a chance, because people in Alabama are very astute and they're very aware and they actually pay attention. So we would get behind a sports figure if we knew they were honest. And if you guys can pull that off and get him to tell his actual story, you might have a chance. But as it is now, shielding him and pretending like he's walking off the field after an NFL game with his beautiful wife who's so pretty it hurts your eyeballs, that's not going to work. Show some humility, tell the true story, and then let the chips fall where they may. That's the only way I see this working out.
I think that's correct. The question is, how long will it take for them to realize that?
After they failed.
Mm-hmm.
Because campaign managers generally don't want anything that they can't control.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
And telling an honest story, which would wear well, look at Trump. If you tell an honest story, it'll go a long way. Yeah. But that scares everybody who's political.
But if you also act like a story is not there, it goes away.
True.
And so I kind of think that's what they're going to try and do. And you are giving... to say it.
What?
But I mean, in general, Alabamians are very, not us, not our listeners.
Yeah.
My best friends,
mm-hmm.
the people we go to dinner with on the weekends, are very low information voters.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so I think most people probably haven't even heard, maybe they read a headline, but they haven't thought again that he didn't register to vote. Because then, you know, they get out there and they murky up the waters and they're like, no, he voted last time. Blah, 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 you know, and they make it just enough convoluted that you're like, eh, that was just some headline. I would probably just ignore it and hope it goes away. But it's going to come up,
yeah.
And you better have a good answer.
Yeah. And I would say the same for Paul Feinbaum, going back to your first story. I would say you need to tell the story as well. You're a good storyteller. Tell it.
In his BLM days?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just put it all out there. I don't think they'll do it, but that's just my two cents. Just try it and see. Also, for our friends that we love, you know, we can also help them really start to understand politics and not just something that we do on the radio every day because we love it. We all need to know what's going on, or we will end up with people who don't know anything about leading. And that's not what we need right now.
Well, we got to take a break, but on the other side, I got another crazy sports story that broke earlier this week connected to gambling. So the gambling bust in sports continue. It looks like this FBI, this new FBI is really going hard after these guys. But then it brings up the question of how much of this is going on that we don't know about. But make sure to stay tuned for that. This is JP on Sports on Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Right Side Radio. This is JP here alongside Allison and Amy Beth. We're currently in JP on Sports, which, by the way, JP on Sports every week is brought to you by Inspire Advisors. Inspire Advisors and Paul Bryan and his team over there, if you haven't heard about them and their BRI, Biblically Responsible Investing, you need to check them out. Their mission is to build a business that impacts and benefits others, to create an environment of learning and sound financial decision-making, to build a community of clientele and advisors that collaborate to accomplish these goals, not for themselves, but all for God's glory. And BRI, they're Biblically Responsible Investing. It keeps you from investing in companies that go against your interests. Maybe there's some companies out there that are pro-abortion or, you know, against Christian ideology. Well, this is where Inspire Advisors come in. they help you invest in companies that truly reflect your values, and they help steer you away from investments that conflict with your beliefs, ensuring that your portfolio is both ethically aligned and financially sound. So that's moneypatternwealth.com. Paul Breyer and his team at Inspire Advisors. Again, that's moneypatternwealth.com. Go check out Inspire Advisors and what Paul Breyer can do for you. All right, we got one more story. This one is with gambling. So if you guys remember, the big story a couple weeks ago was the bust in the NBA with Terry Rozier, Chauncey Billups were caught not only partaking in mafia poker games, but also fixing games to a certain extent, with Terry Rozier betting the under on his props and then leaving with a, quote, injury. Well, now we've got 14 charged in mafia-backed betting ring involving NCAA athletes. 14 people were charged for their roles in a multi-million dollar illegal sports betting ring that involved college athletes and had links to organized crime in New Jersey. And it says Joseph Little Joe Perna, a member of the Lakeys crime family, and his associates ran a nationwide network of bookmakers who used offshore websites to facilitate approximately $2 million in bets between 2022 and 2024. It says the NCAA is aware of the charges and is looking into the case, according to a spokesperson. So now it's not just NBA or MLB, because there was also two pitchers recently in MLB arrested for sort of like what Rozier did. You know, because there's a lot of prop bets in MLB with like a ball on the first pitch of this bat or something like that. And they were purposely, you know, throwing wild pitches and such. So they were arrested. So not only is it professional sports like NBA and MLB, but now it's in college sports. So college sports, which has been completely transformed from what it used to be with NIL and other instances like that. Now we've got proof that betting and gambling, illegal gambling, is making its way into college sports. How much of this is happening that we don't know about? And what do y'all think about the FBI's extreme intent on cracking down on sports betting? Because they've clearly made it their intention and their mission to crack down on this. What do y'all think of that?
Are you going first? Yes.
I started thinking about how I wish Steve Marshall would crack down on the illegal betting that's going on here.
Yeah, that's true.
That would be nice. Because if it's illegal, it's illegal, mm-hmm. and you have to crack down on it. You don't turn the other way. So I'm here for it. It's devastating to young people when they get involved in gambling, and to old people too. But especially when you start young. I know so many of my son's friends that are 19 and addicted to gambling already.
Me too. Yeah, my friends. Yeah,
it's crazy. And so it's just not a good road to go down. And then when you're dealing with such high level and high amounts of money, it's scary. I don't like, and then you throw the mafia in.
Yeah, the mafia. Yeah,
the mafia part, no thank you. Mm-hmm. They will shoot you dead if you do not make good on whatever you bet. I'm wondering why we are surprised when DraftKings and other sports betting sites are all over college sports.
Yep.
Football, basketball, I don't know about it, in volleyball. It's mainly male sports, but I know many people are like, are there any other kind? but why are we surprised when it's bathed in it? I don't think we should be, and I think it's awfully tempting for the athletes, because there's a lot of underhanded things that went on long before NIL that would, you know, it would shock people. I think this is coming to light, and I think we're going to see that this is the tip of the iceberg.
I agree. When you mainstream degeneracy, like ESPN's bet channels and betting apps, and then you got college kids being approached by the mafia of all people, and they don't know what to do. So more to come. You're listening to Right Side Radio. We'll be right back after this break.